Hey, this is Elige, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 72, coming to you live and or pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, August 23rd, 2017. The time, 3:17 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's right. This is easily the earliest we have ever recorded the show. And that's because Anuj is not with us today. I'll be your host, Tim. You can follow me on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom. Anuj is dead. But we still have Brett here with us. Brett, hello.
Hello, friends. What's going on?
It's going, man. I'm glad that we get to do this early. It's nice.
Oh, man, it's nice, yeah.
I don't think we've ever,
night,
you know, we'll have actually have a night, a Wednesday night. It'll be great.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say it's going to be the best episode we've ever done because it's early, but it's definitely going to be the best episode ever. We have e-news, like always. We will talk about the PUBG Invitational. The singles event happened today, so why not talk about that? It's hot off the presses. We were going to talk about this last week, but due to some CSGO roster news, it ended up shuffling this away. And that's esports fandom. How the Overwatch League is testing your limits as a fan to your team. And, you know, we got Counter-Strike back, ladies and gentlemen. Meaningful Counter-Strike, and we'll start the show off with that. But first, follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. You'll check out all our fancy new logos and themes going on. And also our website, tcr.gg. So let's get into this these Counter-Strike news going on today, Brett, because like I said, there has been meaningful Counter-Strike is finally back with us. It's been what feels like an eternity since after the major and teams took their month off. It's been, what, roughly 3 or 4 weeks?
Right, yeah, it's been a month.
And you had the kind of breaking the ice here. You had the, what, it was the qualifiers for ESL New York. That's been done. Envious and Cloud9 ended up qualifying. That will take place in about 2 weeks or so.
And ESL League started back up.
Yes, and then the ESL League's finally started up. The Pro League is finally back, so that's where we will kind of use it for our talking points, because obviously there's been a lot of roster moves. In fact, I don't even remember what we talked about last episode as speculation and confirmation.
Go figure, right? Because as is tradition, a major happens, moves happen.
And like how you were even asking in the pre-show meeting, like, did we talk about the Optic move yet on the show?
I feel like we talk about our CSGO roster move pretty much every week, or every week, right?
Easily, I mean, especially with the month with, you know, the off season, quote unquote, going on, and I honestly didn't have an answer for you because I couldn't remember if we did. I think we mentioned it, but let's just get it out of the way here. Where I think what we talked about last week was Optic blew up the roster. The guys left. Tarek and Rush left, but we didn't know who was back on it, right? Turns out that it's kind of a European roster now. Who do you have on there? I didn't pull it up here because I'm awful at my job.
Right now, you have Neff kind of filling in
Freiburg.
Right now. You got Neff, Freiburg.
Neff
yeah.
took a weird spot because it's he was demoted to bench, yet they're still using him as a fill-in as they're looking for his replacement. So he went from active roster to, like, you're fired, but we still need you, so can you stick around until we find your replacement?
Right, and he put it out there himself on his Twitter account. He's like, hey, just so we're clear, guys, you know, I'm doing this on just kind of a as-needed basis. I'm still not an official, you know, fifth person on this team. I'm just kind of filling in. which is always just kind of weird because that Optic's been doing that for a while now, right? Like, I feel like they haven't had that fifth solid person. I feel like it's been a rotating door of new players. So
yeah,
they
I mean,
to nail that
you
got
to think realistically. Ever since Stanislaw left, they tested out Freakazoid. Well, yeah, even dating further, though, you had Jason R., which, to be fair, I think he was solidified as the fifth, but he left on his own power, right?
Which is kind of weird, because he was IGL at one point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but that's streaming money, dog. You can't say no to that streaming money, as we saw with Shroud, even. But then, you remember, they tested out Freakazoid, they tested out Hiko. You know, Hazed has been jumping back and forth from the coaching role to player role.
Like four times.
Right. He's kind of always in and out. And now Naf. Yeah. It's definitely a weird way they're doing their business. And I wonder if they could go back and like really consider Hiko now as a fifth. Would they?
No. I mean,
has Hiko fell off the radar from so many teams now where it's...
I mean, he's on Rogue, dog. Like that's, I mean, in the CSGO scene, like tier three.
Easily in CSGO, yeah. Rogue is an afterthought. In fact, I bet you most people don't even know they have a CSGO team.
No.
So that's where Hiko's been residing. And I don't think, I mean, I agree with you. I think when you're looking at opportunities and fifth players, oddly enough, Hiko has turned into the old man, right? He's the old quarterback where it's like, hey, you might still be able to sling the ball, but I'm looking for long-term investments here, dog. Like, I need someone that can... we could take a risk on and possibly grow into. That's, I think, where Hiko is from the outside looking in.
Right.
And I don't even want to get into the Hiko discussion right now because we're really looking at the new Optic roster, which has Mixwell, Freiburg, Alu, and Magic.
Yeah, and more to that point, just kind of like to say one more thing about it. I think teams now are just getting to the point where they need dedicated people on their team, right? Like, it's becoming more strategic, you know, it's more structured. You know, Shroud leaving, I'm sure that was a big part of it. I know Shroud said that he left on his own, you know, accord, and, you know, he wants to continue his streaming career, but I'm sure Cloud9, like we talked about last week, was like, yeah, you know, are you in, you know, are you all in on this?
Well, there's been rumors on that branch too, where with him retiring forever, right? Like, how long has that rumor been around that Shroud's going to retire?
While.
That Stewie2K's been upset with some of the dedication from the guys. Who knows if now was he talking about Shroud the whole time? Right?
I think he was. Yeah. I mean, who else, you know, other than him, you know, doesn't grind out matches and, you know, is playing on, you know, rank S.
And now. Shroud. For Optic Gaming, I never thought in my life that I would, and I actually tweeted this out as a joke, but I was serious. Yesterday for the NA side of the ESL Pro League, the two matches you got to pick from were either Liquid and SK or Optic Gaming versus Ghost Gaming.
Right.
And never in my life would I thought, yeah, this Optic Ghost game is pretty appealing.
Like, yeah, I mean, a few months ago, you would have been like, yeah, no, I'm not.
I'm not going to watch this. But I actually ended up watching it now because of the new lineup with Optic Gaming. I wanted to see how it was doing. Yeah. Overall, what is your assessment on it? I thought it was pretty well.
I think it went pretty well, too. I mean, other than the players, a few of the players having to play with 120 to 130 ping.
That's going
to
have to work itself out. You know, this was...
Yeah.
The whole roster was kind of last minute. Are they going to move to the team house over here in North America? I highly doubt it. Like, I think Freiburg is the type of player where they're all kind of... So when you look at this, it is the definition of a ragtag team, Optic Gaming, right? Like, if you look if you told me all the names 6 months ago would be on one team, I'd be like, hell yeah, that's a really good team. And now when you're looking at it, that this is literally all... Like, this is the scraps... from EU. They picked up the scraps from EU Counter-Strike, which, albeit the scraps of EU Counter-Strike, is probably, you know, part of the main course. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's the right, I think it's going to be the right mix. Like, I really think this is going to work out. Like, they're the best NA team now, right? Quote unquote NA team.
I'm glad to see a North American organization finally branch out, right? And yeah, and players giving it a chance.
We've been clamoring for this. Like, you know, I'm a soccer fan. I love USA soccer, and I want my US national players to play in Europe because it's better over there. Same thing here. You know, European players are better. I want to see this Counter-Strike in the States and in this region, and it's happening finally. Like, you know, the mix, maybe this will open the door for other teams to bring in, you know, EU players. And vice versa, you know, EU players bringing in NA players, you know, just that cross stream of good talent going back and forth. But yeah, no, I think OG, they're the right mix of just, you know, Freiburg, he's been an IGL on a championship team with NIP. You got Alu, he's been an opper on several different good teams, NIP being one of them. And then you got the young up-and-comer, you know, Magix. Maybe he just needed a change of pace along with Mixwell, you know, two good young players. And then it's interesting to see who that fifth's going to be. If, you know, if that fifth is, you know, someone that's just
Neff,
wow.
I mean, who knows? Maybe maybe they settle on with Neff. The issue that they're running into right now, and I guess it's not even an issue they're running. It's done. At first was like the roster move limitations, right? But we were going to say it in E-News, but we'll just say it now, that the fact that E-League and DreamHack Malmo has disqualified them because of the amount of roster moves they had to do, no fault to their own, right? Tarek and Rush leaving probably was not a part of their plan, but they've been disqualified for those tournaments because too many roster moves. Now Cloud9 is going to go to DreamHack Malmo, where E-League is allowing another team to qualify through the qualifying tournament. So at that point, you know, the Band-Aid's been ripped off of that. They don't have to be like, well, no, we can't do another roster move because we'll be disqualified from tournaments. It's that damage has been done.
Damage is done, dog.
So they could drop Naf and pick someone else up. The question is who?
Yeah.
Right? At this point, being that you're in mid-season for, well, not mid-season, but the season has begun for ESL Pro League, right? Mm-hmm. E-League is about to start up here soon. Mm-hmm. What trades could you do or roster moves could you possibly make?
I mean, it's even tough to speculate this because, I mean, it could be literally anything because I feel like Counter-Strike at this point, roster moves are so unpredictable. Like, because it could change next week. There could be a team that struggles. Like, it could have been G2 if G2 would have lost. If G2 would have lost today, you know, both games because they got destroyed by FaZe. You know, it's CSGO rosters are so fickle and reactionary. It could be like 2 weeks and we would be like, there's our player to that's going to be the fifth on Optic. We just don't know yet.
Well, and like, speaking of unpredictable, like I jokingly said it before the show that if you would have told me a year ago or even back in February, right at the beginning of the year when FaZe picked up Nico, if you would have said that later on they would pick up Guardian and Ulfmeister, I would have laughed. Like you could have bankrupted me with the amount of money I'd be willing to bet that would not happen. And yet now it's official. Ulfmeister is on FaZe. They did just get their butts kicked against Mousesports in the Pro League.
Mousesports.
I think out of all the new teams, out of the new rosters, even though that one looks on paper to be the most dominating one, I think that's going to have the longest time to find its stride, just because Guardian and Ulfmeister were both such dominating presences on their previous teams, right?
They were the face.
Yeah, they were both the face of the team. Ulfmeister might have not been the IGL for Fnatic, but I can definitely tell you his word was final, right?
Yeah.
You would think, without knowing how, I've never even talked to the guys before, but from an outsider's perspective, Ulfmeister was Fnatic.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be out of the new rosters. FaZe will be the most interesting to watch on how it develops long-term wise. Can it work out? Yeah, of course I think it can work out. Mainly because I don't think any of them were kicked off of their specific teams for their direct performance, but overall the team's performance, right?
Right.
Like, I don't think Ulfmeister was kicked off because Ulfmeister was playing bad. on Fnatic. No. I just think the team in general was playing bad. They took it, what had to change, and Olfmeister and Dennis were the ones this time around that got kicked off the rotating door, right? Yeah, Dennis is now going to Godsent, correct?
Godsent,
thus
yeah.
I read Godsent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, and
oh, go ahead.
Well, yeah, what I was going to say, it's kind of like that, you know, that quarterback in the NFL that's kind of on the twilight of his career, you know, yeah, I could stay with this franchise. Mm-hmm. I could, you know, finish my career here. It's probably not going to go anywhere. You know, the chemistry is bad. So, you know, I'll just stick it out for the sake of just, you know, being here. But I, yeah, more to your point, I feel like those two moves were like, all right, so I'm not getting any younger in my, you know, I say younger, they're like in their 20s, but you know, they're,
it's old for esports,
old for esports, right? So it's like, man, I want to win a major. I want to win another major. Let's do this. Let's make the move. It's time.
I mean, looking at the roster too, like, why would you, right? Like, why would going up to Olfmeister, would he be like, you know what, FaZe, I'm looking for something different, you know? Just looking for something different. Now, I think he was perfectly happy to accept that. The other one that we finally got a chance to kind of see what was going to happen is with Cloud9. With adding Taric and Rush, you know, they had the New York qualifiers going on, but even then you didn't get to fully see the team because Automatic has been out for whatever reason. I'm not really even sure why, but Automatic has been sitting out for the qualifiers and for this first week of ESL Pro League. So for the qualifiers, they had Swag sitting in.
Yeah.
And then for the Pro League, they had Shroud sitting back in.
Yeah.
So I really feel bad for Cloud9 that Automatic is deciding to not, you know, to be busy with whatever he is that he's doing now. Like, it's just, it, not that it's anyone's fault, but the timing could have been better, right?
Yeah.
Because it's, like, the way I see it, Swag is a guy who is probably talking to other teams right now, right? He's unbanned now. He can finally... Right. His mind is someplace else. He's not really focused in on this. And then Shroud, this is the equivalent of, you know, a guy puts in his 2 weeks at work and you're asking him to finish out those 2 weeks. He'll do it, he's not there.
So yellow.
Yeah. He's like, hey, guess what? After this, I don't have to keep up with this, man. You know?
Yeah. He's going to push through every smoke and like,
I'm sure he still cares as a competitor, but he's gone, right? He's
yeah.
In fact, while I was watching him play PUBG and then he got off, I was like, yeah, the team I'm filling in for. I'm like, you mean Cloud9? Like the team you're still with technically streaming for? The team you had to fill in for, your team, right? Like, dude, you're just a bench. You're the backup, but still it's your team. Like, but that just tells you where he's at right now, right? Mentally, he's like, yeah, I got to fill in. Like,
oh, dude, the money is just like, he's just throwing $100 bills up in the air right now.
He has made more money off of this 1 week of full-time streaming than he probably has his entire streaming career. The amount of subscribers and donations he's been getting. And you can definitely tell just from him like watching the stream, you could definitely tell. He's like, yeah, I don't regret that decision at all. Like, I feel pretty freaking good about it, actually. Let me ask all my friends Benjamin on how was this a good idea, you know?
Was this a good idea, Ben? Yeah, Shroud.
So that's...
It was a good idea.
Yeah, I'm stepping away from the ledge right now, right? Everyone knows I'm a Cloud9 fan. I'm being reserved on my opinion, okay? If I wanted to be a pessimistic fan, right, I would say... Mm-hmm. No matter what, you should probably beat CLG, which they lost 0-2 to yesterday in the ESL Pro League. They lost last night to CLG twice. Mm. So realistically, yes, you should probably beat that roster, right? No matter if you have Shroud, who put in his 2 weeks notice, and Taric and Rush, who are new to the team, your individual skill based at that point, I would assume, is better than CLG.
Is, yeah.
I would hope that would
be losing those games.
Right. But again, being the rational thinker, it's two games, right? We've all learned in the ESL Pro League, it's not where you finish as long as you're in the top six. Right?
Right.
It doesn't really matter. You could be first place like Cloud9 was and lost. Doesn't matter where you're at in that bracket. You just want to be top six is your main point in the ESL Pro League, and then you can move on.
Right, and we've seen teams come back from, you know, dire situations like Mousesports.
You know, we talked to the Mousesports guys. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the guys last year.
It was G2 that we talked to at the ESL event in Dallas, where they were like, yeah, you know, we had no expectations on winning this thing. In fact, we're just kind of happy to be here.
As a team, they agreed to just kind of chalk up this season to a loss and play and have fun. And then here they are winning the entire league last year. So again, Cloud9, we haven't even seen their roster, right? It's been full of subs. I mean, funny enough, we have not seen their actual roster yet. So it's, you know, let's hold off on that. But it is crazy to see all these roster moves, like we said. You know, EU players playing on Optic for a North American team. Optic Gaming switching guys to Cloud9. You have Olaf Meister going to FaZe with all these roster moves. It made me start thinking of, you know, the fandom in esports, right? Like, we all have our organizations, but at the same time, you also have your favorite players. And who are you going to root for more? You're going to root for the players? You're going to root for this, right? It goes a lot of directions. And, of course, I guess I want to bring down the room, Brett, but I do want to get serious for just 1 second, okay? Because I feel like when we discuss this, we have to bring it up, okay? Right. So right now, I don't know. We have a lot of European listeners and some Brazilian listeners. They're not all American, okay? Right now in America, we are going through a turning point in history, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of arguings, riots on the streets. People are dying over it. It's pretty messed up, and it's crazy, and it's never a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like tensions are really high and people don't know where to go. And of course, I'm talking about Cloud9 signing with London. It's one of those things where Cloud9 has always been an American team for me, right?
Yeah.
And now that they signed on with this London team, the audacity for Cloud9 to sign on with London for the Overwatch League, it put me at a crossroads. I'm like, well, damn. What do I do? Right? We live in Dallas, okay? Dallas-Fort Worth. Envious signed the Dallas-Austin team. So I'm like, the homer in me is like, okay, well, done. I'll root for Envious, right? They're Dallas. That's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
And yet, you have Cloud9, who is, I got bracelets. I got shirts. I bleed blue, right? I bleed Cloud9.
Yeah.
And they signed with London. So that was like, I got people asking me on Twitter. I got you and Anuj poking fun at me because it was rough seeing like Cloud9 being what has always been known as like an American organization sign with London. And it made me think esports has never really had to deal with this before.
Right. It's something brand new to the scene. I think it's good. This is where I want all esports to go eventually, but I struggled with it as well. You know, I'm a NIP fan. NIP, you know, they had or have an Overwatch team. Well, I think they do. And, you know, I'm not in that same boat with you. I haven't had to make that difficult decision yet. But, you know, if NIP got a team in, you know, let's just throw it out there, Minnesota. I don't know why Minnesota came into play. They're not going to ever have an esports team. But, let's say that NIP got a team. Dang, I have to make a decision. I'm a fan, like, in local sports. I'm a fan. Stars,
your
Cowboys,
mic is
Mavericks.
Going crazy, by the way.
Is that any better?
No.
Testing. Hello, world.
Live recording here, people. This is why Brett can't be left alone with no supervision.
That's right. But, all right, any better now?
It's okay. We'll go with it.
Okay.
No one listens to the podcast anyway. It's okay.
I haven't had to make that difficult decision yet, but if NIP got a team, I think, you know, we had this conversation the other day. I feel like I would have to lean more towards rooting for my hometown team. You know, Dallas, Austin, envious. So, yeah, I mean, I was already looking at envious shirts today. I'm ready.
Let's do this. It's weird to think because, like I said, esports has never had to deal with the actual hometown, right? You've never been able to be called a homer in esports, right?
Yeah.
Shoot, there might be, you know what? And I'm going to have to explain what a homer is, because there might be people listening right now that have no idea if you don't really pay attention to traditional sports. What a homer is someone who will root for your hometown team, right? So we're in Dallas, we like the Dallas Cowboys. And no matter what they do, no matter how bad they are, you are going to always pick them, right? Like, who's your favorite to win the Super Bowl this year? I think the Cowboys really stand a chance, man. Even though this year they actually do, but 3 years ago, when they had no chance in doing it, you would still have people saying that, and it's kind of like, okay, well, you're just being a homer, right? It's your home team. And now I'm at this crossroads where I really feel like I should root for Cloud9. Like, I have cemented myself. My brain has been imprinted with Cloud9, and I just feel like that's where it needs to be. That's where my fandom for the Overwatch League needs to go, is Cloud9.
Yeah, and with sports, it you know, you have people in Dallas, born and raised in Dallas, that are 49er fans for whatever reason. I mean, it happens. You latched onto that team, and you're taking off with it. So, I mean, no one's going to fault you for that. It's just me personally, I'm just, my name is Dallas Homer. What kind of Dallas Homer would I be if I was rooting for NIP?
This is true. That's your namesake. That's your own fault.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, do you think, though, and let me ask you this, would you judge me? I would judge me. I just want to say this. I would judge myself, okay? So don't feel bad.
Okay. All right. No, I'm not.
If I rooted for both.
Oh, no.
Is that worse than being... Because here's the thing, all right? I want to root for Cloud9, okay? But, like, let's say all of a sudden they just turn into, like, the EU London fanboy fan base. Well, I can't handle that, okay? I'm an American, Brett. You know, I was born and raised with freedom in my blood. I can't join the yuppies in London.
That's right.
But I got Cloud9 there. But
yeah, that's right.
Just outside, I got Envious. So, of course, I have some interest in that team. But at the same time, all these teams are kind of just picking a city because they want to be in the league, right? I'm sure if Cloud9 had their choice, they would pick, you know, LA or wherever they're based off of. San Francisco, I think they're based out of.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Overwatch League presented them with London, said, if you want a team, this is going to be your team. And Cloud9 was like, sure, why not? And then they went and signed Laser Kittens for their EU division team. I don't know really how all that's good. That's right now they're playing in the Contender League for Overwatch. I don't know if that's going to transition to the Overwatch League team. All that it really gives me a headache just trying to sort all that out, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because really only at this point, we know cities, we know teams, we don't know rosters.
Right.
We just don't.
Right, and I don't even know what type of roster carryover you're going to get, right? If it's if the EU team is playing for Cloud9, well, when the Overwatch League starts, if they're going to have the London... And furthermore, we don't even know like if London's going to be Cloud9. Which is my only shot in this whole thing, right? I will have, even though it's the ownership of Cloud9 with London, if they're not called like London Cloud9s or Cloud9 London or anything like that, I won't feel nearly as bad not rooting for them. You know,
it just doesn't roll off the tongue. Like I mentioned, Dallas, Austin, envious.
But that's what
Austin,
I'm saying,
Dallas,
though. There's no one has confirmed yet if that's how it's going to be. Right?
Yeah.
No one's confirmed if it's just going to be called Envious and they just are representing Dallas and Austin or how that's going to work. I don't know.
Right.
It was an interesting interesting topic to hear from, and I would love to hear from our listeners as far as their opinions on it. You can always let us know at The Center Ring on Twitter. You know, am I a bad person for rooting for both Envious and Cloud9 only in the Overwatch League? Okay, don't get this twisted. I'm not going to be... Let me tell you what, if I'm having issues like in a London team, I'm not going to like Envious in Counter-Strike. The French? Yeah. Yeah, right.
Colors don't run.
These colors don't run, baby. So that's one of the things that the Overwatch League is shaking things up in that sense, right? Where
yeah.
I would like to think behind closed doors, if Cloud9 could choose a city, they would not have chose London. But maybe they did. I don't know. We're not privy to that information. But as esports matures, as esports grows, I think you're going to find more and more where this is an issue. Where you have teams like, well, think about like for SK, right? SK themselves is a German organization. Okay? Mm-hmm. But when I say SK, if you're from Counter-Strike, you don't think, ah, yes, the German team. Right? No, it is a Brazilian team through and through. And even before that, their roster was Sweden and from Denmark. They've never even had a German on the team before, and yet they are a German organization. So it's one of those weird things that I think going forward, we need to decide how we want to identify organizations and teams, right? Are we identifying them by the players, or are we identifying them by the org? You know, we talked about it the other day at work, Brett, where with Optic Gaming now, they are grandfathered into North American Counter-Strike, right?
Yeah.
Yet half of them, or actually more than half now, are playing on EU connections and servers. So, are they an EU team? Right? Like, for example, if all of them turned into an EU roster, are they still going to be recognized as a North American team? In traditional sports, there's no question, right? Where the team is based out of is the team.
Yeah.
Like, the Dallas Cowboys will always be an American Dallas Cowboys football team. Doesn't matter who's on the roster, right? You don't look at a baseball roster and think, ah, those are that's a good Dominican team right there.
Yeah, and to piggyback off of that, the Dallas Cowboys and the NFL play in the East. Everyone that knows geography knows
not
that
the
Cowboys are not in the East.
If you draw
they're
a
in the
line,
Central. Yeah. So I mean, this could be the same thing with Counter-Strike. It's like, hey, let the organization choose. What do you want to be identified as, NA or EU? And then you play in that division, and then you qualify in that division. I think it should be more organization based. And if they don't want to play on 120 ping servers, then guess what?
That's where the players need to decide what's important. What's important?
Make a plane ride, play your match, go back home, or stay here for the ESL season, and then you know go back home.
It truly is one of the biggest issues that isn't really an issue, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's the only reason I'm complaining about this is because we have a podcast and I have the time and the platform to do it with. Realistically. Like I said, when I see Cloud9's logo, I'm probably going to root for him. Probably. It's going to sting a little bit when I see, like, you know, London. It's a weird thing.
So, yeah, and I've gone out with you where, you know, you wear your Cloud9 stuff, and whenever you wear your Cloud9 stuff, you always wear your American flag socks.
I do.
So, during
it's
Overwatch
a uniform.
Event,
it's a
so,
uniform.
So, this is going to... I am going to search on the internet as soon as we finish this this episode. I'm going to get you some like Union Jack socks
just to match
for Britain. Yeah,
know,
for
man.
UK.
It's a weird.
So you can wear
it's weird
UK socks while you wear your.
It is definitely weird. But you know, to jump on that, during the TI when Liquid won, people were chanting USA. And I'm pretty sure that's because
none of those
they
guys were American.
Exactly, but I'm pretty sure it's because they just people who might not be informed think Liquid is American because in most of their other teams they are.
Yeah.
So they were chanting USA even though nobody was American on that team. So I don't know. I had a good chuckle, a good tummy laugh to that, but only time will tell what will happen, right? When I see the first Overwatch League game, I guess my heart will tell me who my fandom really belongs to, Brett. Listen to your heart, guys.
Listen to your heart.
Speaking of, this is the perfect time to segue so Brett does not sing. We had our first, I believe, don't quote me on this, our first actual professional tournament for PUBG. For Players Unknown Battlegrounds. Before they did that charity invite, but I don't think that was professional, right?
No.
So this was our first ones. Of course, it was the PUBG Invitational at Gamescom. It was earlier today. They did singles. There was not duos or squads. That's coming up later into the week and into the weekend.
Tomorrow duos, yeah.
Tomorrow's duos, and I think on Friday or Saturday is squads. I think squads is supposed to be like the big event. So. Yeah. We discussed this a couple episodes back in Clutch or Kick on whether or not we felt like PUBG is going to be a relevant esports, right? Or even if you want to even not say PUBG, right? Just say that survival battle royale style of game, right? Will the Hunger Games ever be a good esports? That's really what we're asking.
Right.
And I believe you and Anuj both said Kick, and I was the one who was like, I'm kind of hyped up now. You know, I kind of want I'm going to clutch it because I want to believe because that charity event was so fun to watch.
Yeah.
After today, I'm not so sure I'm correct.
Yeah. It's they have to find a way to make it, well, just in-game, limit the RNG, right? Like, find a way that you kind of level that playing field, not so much beginning game, but mid to end game, to be able to predict the circle a little bit better, because right now you can't. And the match I watched where it was Break against the Team Liquid guy, Break had the circle, but the circle was in the corner of the previous circle. So he just lucked out. And he could hide behind his rock in third person. That's a whole nother topic. And wait for the other guy to have to make a move. I think the circle should be more predictable. I think that'll help. And then two, and I'm sure they'll figure this out, but the observing was terrible.
Yeah, agree. It was, there's no excuse. The observing was pretty god awful. Now, it is going to become better with time, much like any observing, right? I'm sure if you go back to watch the original Counter-Strike, it was probably equally as awful. They're also in Counter-Strike or in any other game, you're dealing with what? Maybe 6-7 cameras, right? 10 if you're counting each individual player in Counter-Strike and then maybe some outside for the map. This, you're dealing with how many people started? 71?
There's 71, yeah.
71 people. Players. And there's actually, if I can find the tweet, I'll retweet it on our Center Ring account where it was a picture of the control room and it was insane. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of screens, like little screens and everything with each player. So I could understand why it would be almost impossible to like track everything down in the league, right? I completely understand why that's difficult. But nonetheless, maybe at the start, rather than just watching some dude loot for 5 minutes, you mix it up and watch three different people loot. Right? I need pictures. In this style of game, picture in picture would be perfect. I typically don't like picture in picture, but in this type of game, like, dude, I would rather watch four people loot than just one dude loot. Like, if you're at that stage, right, early on, no fighting and just looting, I'd rather watch that.
Yeah.
Now, I also think it's these invitational games. At the same time, when there's 71 people, right? it's going to be difficult watching it with 71 pros. Like, for example, here, there was a lot of, I think, streamers and just kind of popular people playing rather than all pros. Is that fair to say?
I mean, I did.
Would you call all 70, but all 71 of these people were not professionals?
Not all 71, no.
Right.
But I think the number of pros was a little, maybe a little bit over half. I mean,
really?
There were a lot
of big organizations. You think there was more than I'm giving it credit for?
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, I can think of just off the top of my head, TSM, Liquid, Cloud9, Mythic, if you want to add Mythic, because they're,
they're
actually professionals, you know, they're professional gamers, along with some other teams. But yeah, I think it was maybe a little bit over half.
Now,
but
Sir
still,
Scoots,
there were...
Sir Scoots had the tweet of the day with his hot opinion that PUBG will be a top five esports within a year of actual release, if not sooner. It's compelling to play and watch. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I again, this goes back to the RNG, fix that a little bit if you can. I think it can be fixed, but also they need to change third person. No one wants to see someone.
Yeah, I didn't even get into that yet.
Yeah, no one wants to see just someone camping on a balcony prone, waiting for some unfortunate soul to come across and get blindsided from a dude that just timed it.
Well, and we didn't even talk. Yeah, so I didn't even bring that up. That's a good point. The third person is awful. And here's the thing. If the competitive landscape for PUBG is going to be third person forever and always,
I'm out.
I won't watch a single game because I think ultimately at the end of the day, it's BS, right? A lot of the kills, you're like, oh, congratulations. You saw them around the wall. You know, we saw one today. I forget who the it involved, but player one was in a building. Player two was running towards the door. Player two had no idea player one was in the building. Player one had time to look around the corner without ever revealing themselves, heal up, and then peek around and shoot the guy. Without him having any idea any of it was going on.
Yeah.
And that is not a competitive way to handle it at all.
No, because it doesn't leave, it's more just like luck than skill. Skill in first person is, okay, yeah, you can heal behind this wall. You're not going to know that other guy's in. And when you peek, he's going to be able to see your head. Like, there's an even playing field there. There is not an even playing field in third person. That needs to go. I don't mind it staying in the game, the actual game. Keep both because there's a following for both. But
yeah,
third person has
In the actual game, I agree. Yeah, no, there's no point in completely eliminating third person. But from a competitive stake, get rid of it.
Yeah,
like
get rid of it.
Figure out a way to get first person on the main stage and have that be your competitive way. Until then, don't call me. You leave me and my family alone until then. So we'll see. I guess we'll see how throughout the week how PUBG goes. I think squads, I think duos will be better. It'll be a little bit more entertaining just because I think there's more teamwork, and teamwork drives competitiveness. So I think that would be better, but we'll see how that goes there. For now, though, let's get into some e-news. To wrap up the show. In CSGO, we already mentioned E-League and DreamHack ended up dropping Optic. One thing here that's interesting, Counter-Strike is going to go free to play in China for any verified user. So Perfect World being the distributor, I guess, if whatever you want to call it, in China for Counter-Strike, decided, hey, if you have a verified account, Counter-Strike will be free in an attempt to boost player numbers. You know, whatever. We'll see. It just seems like China is not adapting to Counter-Strike as much as people were hoping.
No.
The Overwatch Contender League, that did start. We had week one. Just to give you a bit of an update on standings, nothing much has really happened. In North America, Envious and FaZe won. Envision ended up winning, and the Kangarana, I guess is how you would say that. I don't know. Esports has weird names. They also won. In Europe, Cloud9, we actually mentioned them signing Laser Kittens to be their contender league, and they ended up losing in week one. So, you know, it's obviously early. I'm not trying to say anything here. I'm mainly just doing this to bring up the fact that the Overwatch Contender League did start, and it's pretty much on point. They actually have a lovely functioning website, which is what more than most leagues can say. In other e-news, you have Gwent, the Witcher card game, is getting its first actual professional series with a $850,000 prize pool throughout the series.
Never played, but I've heard really good things from you and Anoush that you like it, right?
I enjoy it. I think as far as card games go, you have minimum RNG in Gwent. I think there's a lot more. It feels more like chess to me, where Hearthstone has just gone too RNG for me. So that's pretty dope. And then, Brett, this is for you. Battlefield 1, did you see this? Do you know what I'm about to say?
No.
Battlefield 1 is getting a new competitive game mode, Incursions. It's a 5v5 game mode for Battlefield 1, new maps and everything.
Huh. Okay. I'm in on that.
I'm down. I know a lot of people are like, this isn't what Battlefield is about. Battlefield should be large scale. And blah. I'm like, okay, so go play the large scale servers. But as far as competitiveness goes, those are not competitive, right? Like, you're not going to get a team of 30 people to go on, and I know they're out there, but you're not going to find that for the longevity of anything like that. It's always going to be difficult.
Yeah, you can't monetize 30 on 30.
No.
You can monetize 5 on 5.
Yes.
So, I mean,
cuz take those clans. Take those clans of 30. Say they really just love the game. You divide that by 5 and instantly you have 6 teams just ready to go. You know?
There you go.
Right there, you have 6 pro teams ready to go. I think that's pretty dope. I think it's cool to see Battlefield hasn't completely forgot that there is a competitive scene out there for video games and that they're finally willing to give it a shot. Pretty interesting coming around the time of Call of Duty World at War. Or not, not that. Call of Duty World War II. Call of Duty.
Back in the day.
Yeah, I'm going even further back. World War II. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'll give it a watch. It's interesting nonetheless. Yeah. I don't know if it's too little too late for the Battlefield scene, but...
It gives me a reason to reinstall the game.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, well, and you know, that's why I never bought them, right? Because as much as I enjoyed them, I'm too much of a junkie for competitiveness. And let's face it, if I don't feel like I'm actually a part of the winning team, it loses its coolness, I guess, if you will.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So why don't we call this one a night or a day, in fact, Brett, because it's only 4:00. We still have the whole day ahead of us.
The sun is out.
The sun is out?
Maybe I'll go out outside and do things.
Yeah, well, let's not get crazy, okay?
No, the outside world's scary.
Episode 72 in the books. I thank you all for listening. If you've made it this far, or even if you just skipped around, I definitely appreciate it all the same. Again, we are The Center Ring. Check us out on Twitter at The Center Ring. Hit us up on our website, tcr.gg. I totally forgot to mention in the show, but if you are going to QuakeCon, let me know. Hit us up on Twitter, because some of us will be there. I and Anoush and I will be at QuakeCon. So let us know if you're going. We'll say hi. Until then, thank you so much for listening. And we will be back next week for episode 73, talking some good old esports. Thank you.